Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Whitson and Joe Castellano.
Well, Ray, the Warriors beat the Timberwolves two games in a row. It was kind of like a baseball series. You know, they swept the series. That's the way the schedule is these days. And, the Timberwolves, first of all, not the best team in the league for sure. And secondly, playing without their top two players, really, with D'Angelo Russell out and Karl Anthony Towns. However, I mean, you still have to beat teams and you have to play better basketball, because we saw the Warriors not play very well at all against the New York Knicks. And then it was a dud, really, against the Utah Jazz. And it's kind of been the way this season has gone, Ray, where, you know, the Warriors will have two really good games and they might have a couple of dud games. And this kind of shows that, hey, at least we have some consistency against a team that we know we can beat. We're not going to lay an egg. And even when Steph Curry isn't having, you know, his biggest night, although he did have some great moments, he didn't have his biggest night scoring, other players stepped up.
Yeah, in particular, Kelly Oubre. And, hey, you know, let's just drop a trade rumor for a game to light a fire under a player. That seemed to work out pretty well. And I guess Steve Kerr had a chat with Oubre about it, saying, hey, they just called us, and all of a sudden this story drops. So I always find it interesting how the story drops. It's like, we didn't have anything to do with it. The team just called us, yet a story drops, you know. And some of this is NBA logic when, you know, you got a player who's an unrestricted free agent and he's not played well with his new team, and you may be looking for different combinations. And, at this point they have to think about that. You know, Steve Kerr was talking about getting up to game 20 and figuring out where you are. Well, we're getting pretty close to that. And you just don't know about Oubre. You know that the back of the basketball card says he's a better player than he's been with the Warriors. And then you ask yourself, what's going on? Is he pressing? Is he not a good fit? Do they need to play more with the second unit, which appears to be the case? I don't know. They're still figuring that out. I know he's a better player than he's shown. And he showed that tonight. And he was a man possessed. And, you know, maybe the trade rumor did light a fire under him. Maybe, you know, the matchup, working with the second unit, whatever it was, he was great.
Well, let's hear what Warriors head coach Steve Kerr had to say about the Oubre trade rumor. And Kerr was asked whether or not he talked to Oubre about the rumor.
Yeah, I talked to him about it. It was, it's unfortunate. You know, a team called us and asked about, didn't even make an offer, just asked about Kelly. Next thing we know, it's online. I mean, this is sort of, you know, the modern NBA, modern life, headlines. And that's, I tell the players all the time, and I told Kelly today, like, this is where you really earn your money. You know, the basketball part is the easy part, you know, but, you know, packing up your family and leaving, getting injured, getting booed, or reading your name in trade rumors. Those things are not easy. So I was really proud of Kelly. He handled it really well. We texted this afternoon and then I just told him just now how proud I was, because it's not easy to play through that stuff. And, you know, he came in and had one of his best games and was really the key to our finally, you know, gaining some traction in the game in that second quarter.
That could work in two different ways, right? Either you're mad that the team might be trading you, or you just take it as motivation. It looks like that's what he did.
Yeah, but he's been around the league long enough to know this stuff's going to happen, especially when you're a UFA, you know, going into next summer. And you know, it may come a point where he's playing really well. They go to the playoffs and they decide he's a valuable piece, or, you know, going up to the trade deadline, you want to make sure you get something. You know, don't want to risk getting nothing for him if he leaves town. So, this stuff is to be expected. I feel like the Warriors need to acquire another shooter to help out Steph. I do think that. Whether that involves trading Oubre or somebody else, I don't know. You know, there's some rumors about New Orleans possibly offering Lonzo Ball or J.J. Redick. I think Redick's salary makes that kind of prohibitive, but, Lonzo Ball's kind of intriguing. Lonzo Ball, by the way, was playing really well before the bubble last season. He was playing the best basketball in his brief NBA career. Then he went to the bubble, and it all kind of went south. And, you know, he's kind of struggled this year, but he's young enough to where you think he still has some upside. And, oh, by the way, the Warriors have done pretty well coaching up a player like that who, you know, has got some talent. And I'm talking about Andrew Wiggins, who has emerged as a pretty reliable second scorer for the Warriors, which, you know, Steph Curry desperately needs. But, you know, there are a lot of things going on in this game for, you know, a game where you're playing a bottom feeder in the NBA's Western Conference. I mean, not only did Minnesota not have Towns and Russell, but then Ed Davis got ejected for a flagrant two, you know, probably their best offensive rebounder on a team that's good at offensive rebounding. So they were really, really shorthanded, and I guess they did well to close it within 12. But, you know, the last time we talked, Joe, it was a five-game stretch. I thought if they go 3-2, that sounded about right. That's exactly what they did, and now they're 10-8.
Yeah, and I think Kelly Oubre is now showing how valuable he can be. I mean, for one thing, you know, the shooting, at first it looked like every time he took a shot, it almost like you look at it and go, wait, I don't think he's going to make anything tonight. And
right.
This was just the opposite, where if he missed a shot, you were surprised because, you know, he's making whatever threes he's taking. He's taking more open looks. He's not forcing it. He's driving to the basket. He's pushing the ball up the floor. He's getting rebounds. He's, you know, he's getting some steals. He's playing really good defense. He, you know, he's using his length on defense, I think. I mean, he's just kind of showing a little bit of everything that you were hoping from the beginning you would see and you didn't. And yeah, maybe this was motivation because of the possible trade. And I know Steve Kerr said that he talked to him about it before the game because maybe he was down about it. I mean, we don't know everything about that, but I think he's shown that he could be a really valuable player on this team because he does so many different things well.
He can be a real asset as a two-way player, and you want to have those guys, especially if, you know, with this team struggling as it did defensively earlier this season, and in a league where you've got a lot of those wing guys with length. Oubre can be a real pest defensively. We've seen that. And, you know, he's starting to get some confidence offensively and playing more minutes with the second unit, and they just kind of cut him loose and say, be aggressive. That seems to have helped. So you see in games like tonight why you want to have somebody like that around. He's not developed the consistency yet, but again, we are only 18 games, a quarter of the way into the season now, exactly 25%. So this deserves a little more time to see how it works out, but, you know, not a whole lot more time. But again, the Warriors have not played themselves out of a playoff spot, and you are still finding things out. And I think with a guy like Oubre, who has the track record that he does, he earns a little more time.
And he gets to play against his former team in the next game,
yep.
Which is tomorrow on Thursday night. James Wiseman, 25 points. I mean, he made some threes where before you might have been saying, I don't know if I want him taking that shot. Well, he made all three of the ones that he took, looked very smooth on those, had a highlight material block, and then run down the floor. And oh my gosh, on that dunk. I mean, the two strides and just hammer it down. So, you know, this was his best game as far as scoring, and I think he's taken to coming off the bench pretty well because you wondered, okay, would that bother him as far as his confidence because he was in the starting lineup? How much of a difference does it really make? I actually think this tweak was pretty good. It's almost like this little genius move by Steve Kerr. You put the veteran in there to start Kevon Looney. He doesn't play nearly as many minutes as Wiseman, but he's always in the right place, kind of gives Wiseman
right.
a chance to watch at the beginning of the game. Hey, look at Looney. This is what he's doing right. I'm going to come in there charged up to do the right thing and be in the right spots. And it seems to have worked well in the first couple of games anyway.
Well, you know, some people say you're not helping his development by having him come off the bench as opposed to playing more minutes with Curry. But I think you can learn a lot, especially early in your career, by spending some time on the bench and watching Curry and watching the starters. And the fact of the matter is Looney knows how to play with Curry, knows how to set screens for him, knows exactly where to be. And he had 10 rebounds in 12 minutes. So, you know, Looney is not a spectacular player by any stretch of the imagination, but he's still a right fit for this team when he's healthy. That doesn't mean Wiseman's not eventually going to be the starter every game. I mean, he shows that 10-second segment you were talking about with the block and then running the floor and then flying in for the dunk. And, you know, he took five steps to get there? I mean, he's going to be ridiculous And he ended up with 25 points and 6 rebounds in 24 minutes and made those threes as well. I mean, what an assortment of skills that he showed. And obviously, he's still got things to learn. You know, I'd say the one thing is getting better hands. He's still not there with that. He kind of fumbled a couple of buckets tonight, or his numbers would have been even better. So, I mean, it's really tantalizing. And the other intrigue, of course, was the number two pick, Wiseman, and the number one pick, Anthony Edwards. And there was a little bit of back and forth with those two in this game as well. So I thought that was kind of cool. One time Edwards went right up to challenge Wiseman, and Wiseman forced a miss. So it's going to be fun watching these two guys develop. Edwards is going to score a ton of buckets in this league, I can tell you that. And so is Wiseman. But Wiseman's also going to give you that presence defensively and running the floor. And it's fun as it's going to be to watch his development this year. My goodness, next year with Klay Thompson back and Wiggins potentially, this team's going to be scary. But the talent you see from Wiseman, it's very, very tantalizing. But I think it's okay for him to come off the bench. Maybe it does light a little fire under him. I don't think it's the kind of thing that shakes his confidence. As we said last week, he seems to take this stuff in stride, understand where he is in his career. Even though he's 19, he does have that perspective and appears to be very coachable.
Speaking of the coaching, here's what Kerr had to say about Wiseman coming off the bench.
James was fantastic tonight. Obviously, you know, some highlight reel dunks and transition and catching lobs and that kind of stuff. But what we were almost pleased about was his verticality at the rim. I think he must have had 4 plays where he just did exactly what he's being taught every day, which is to get position, jump straight up, arm straight up, and don't come down, don't reach. And he did that 4 different times where he was not called for a foul. And that's really the key to his defensive awareness, defending without fouling and just using that immense size and athleticism to make it difficult for people to score over the top of him. So really encouraging. And the young guy is, I've said it many times, he's not only talented, but he's got a great head on his shoulders. The way he handled everything the last couple of days, you know, moving to the bench, the way he responded to the media questions, the way he responded in practice. He had a great practice yesterday. So this is a young guy who is very mature and wants to win and competes and works his butt off. So it's pretty exciting.
As far as the lineup change, it just seemed like you had to do something the way the Warriors were starting games in the first quarter. So, you know, you make a little tweak. And I think that Curry and Green, they love being on the floor at the same time as Wiseman, even if it's not the beginning of the game. Later on, you know, they're really getting comfortable with him now. I mean, the dunk we were talking about, that was off a pass from Draymond Green. And Steph Curry just loves this whole pick and roll idea with Wiseman and, you know, finding him for these lobs. And the defense, they can't just you know, lay off of Curry because he's going to make a basket. And then if they go after him, Curry has the perfect timing to be able to feed the lob to Wiseman.
Well, 2 things there. Draymond Green is definitely trying to encourage Wiseman on the court and sometimes off the court. There was a moment there in the second half where Wiseman got a charging call and he just walked right over Jake Layman and dunked it. And you heard Draymond off the court yelling, "Hell yeah, hell yeah." Yeah, you know, there's a lot of coaching up going on the court with Draymond, who had, I thought, a real nice game tonight with 6 points, 6 rebounds, and 8 assists. I thought he played pretty well. But the other part of it is, again, Looney knows how to play with Curry, and they're pretty effective together in the pick and roll. Curry's been one of the better players out of the pick and roll this year. But this is what you're trying to find out. And I know a lot of fans out there point to, for example, the end of the game the other night where they beat Minnesota 130-108 and Curry took over. And they say, why can't he just do that all the time, right? They should put the ball in Curry's hands and let him cook, which sounds good on the surface. But, you know, the fact of the matter is it's a law of diminishing returns. And then, you know, what Steve Kerr says is you don't get other players involved, and it makes them worse and makes the offense overall worse, even though Curry's doing what he does. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I've seen too many games over the last 10 years that tell me when Curry gets going, you just let him go. And I do think, though, that if the game is fairly close or in doubt in the fourth quarter, you definitely want the ball in that guy's hands. As another rookie found out tonight, it was Jaden McDaniels on that ridiculous step-back three that Steph threw over him. He said, "Oh, you went to the University of Washington? Time to go back to school." he's very rude to rookies, especially. And he loved the matchup against the bigger guy. But, Curry and Green and Wiseman, Curry and Green are going to love playing with this guy. But, again, it's being used to a certain player, and that takes time. You know, Looney's been around a few years. You know, he's still relatively young. That's the funny part. It seems like he's been here forever. but Looney is very much a part of the culture here, and Wiseman is still learning that. So you got to give that time as well. And the other thing you got to give time about is finding the balance for Steph Curry. How much pick and roll do you do? How much do you just let the ball be in his hands and draw the defense as a magnet? How much do you have him do so off the ball, right? Because he can be a magnet that way and open things up. And this, again, is where I think they need a second shooter. And maybe Damian Lee is that guy. Maybe they don't need to acquire it, because Damian Lee is showing time and again he's been one of the more reliable guys and one of the better shooters. You know, you have to consider defensive matchups. But I think about what Anthony Edwards said the other night after the game. He said, "Steph just doesn't stop moving." And so sometimes the benefit you want is him off the ball and just wearing out the defense that way and keeping you on your toes, as opposed to having Steph with the ball and having things stagnate a little bit. It's, you know, I get where some fans are coming from, because Steph is so effective most of the time when he's one-on-one, or even when he's drawing a couple of defenders to him. But, that you wear a player out as well when you're doing that. So that's, you know, it's better to have Steph wearing the defense out as opposed to the other way around. So that's the balance they're trying to find right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because Anthony Edwards here is this, you know, rookie who's, what, 19 years old as well. And he's talking about how Steph is just moving around all the time and how maybe you could get tired with that. I mean, you would think that Edwards wouldn't get tired, but it is one of those things. It doesn't matter what kind of shape you're in or what age you are. You kind of get lulled into this false sense of that, you know, Curry's given up the ball and I might chase him around, but he's not going to be in position to shoot a three. And he did on one of those, the corner three that he hit. Even I thought, well, he's not going to shoot this. Well, all of a sudden he'll just get into position to grab the pass, shoot it. And before you even blink, it's like, wait a minute, that shot's on its way to the basket. I had no chance to defend that because I just wasn't ready for it. You have to be on point all the time. It almost has nothing to do with whether or not you're fatigued. It's just that you have to constantly be thinking about it, and maybe it's mental fatigue in some ways.
Well, I'm sure that plays into it after a while. And it's like Edward said, I don't know how he doesn't get tired. He's looking at this guy who's 32, going to be 33 in March. He's like, what's up with this dude? You know, he's superhuman. But he's learning about Steph Curry, obviously, after seeing him on television all those years. So it's an education for him as well. But, I mean, Steph is tremendously conditioned. And, again, he had a lot of time off in the last year or so. So he came into this year very fresh, not only having the time off with the injury, but not being in the playoffs after five straight years of going to the finals and all the mileage that he accrued there, along with a few other players. So, I mean, he's just still a wonder. Even on nights where he's off, you know, and we've seen this time and time again, that he can ignite at any time. And that's kind of what happened in the third quarter of this game that kind of reminded me of some of the games at Oracle back in the day when they'd explode in the third quarter and Steph was so lethal and often wouldn't even show up for the fourth quarter because they had blown the team out. They don't have that kind of firepower now to do that all the time. And Minnesota got back in the game, and that was the one, you know, detriment. Steph did have to come back in the game and log a few more minutes. But, the thing that's happened in the last few games is the starting five, which had the worst numbers in the league, started playing a little better. albeit against an inferior opponent that's shorthanded. And then the second unit has fallen off a little bit. We talked about Pascal, you know, going up against some of the bigger fives and taking advantage of that. And I think I wonder two things. Maybe Oubre is taking away some of his touches, and maybe tonight you go up against a Minnesota team that doesn't have a whole lot of bigs. Everybody on that team 6'8" or 6'9", it seems like.
Yeah.
So that made it a little tougher for Pascal as well. But the second unit has definitely fallen off, and you don't want to see that because this has to be a strength of this team this year.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, too. Like, you don't see many games where Curry has no points until the waning moments of the first half. I mean, you know, how often do you see that where the team is leading, too? I mean, they're not getting blown out or anything. They, you know, have a little lead there in the second quarter, and Curry hasn't scored yet, and you're going, wait a minute, how is that possible? And that just, you know, that's almost good in a way because it shows that the other players are contributing, and, you know, you're getting a great game in that second quarter from Oubre, and, you know, it's kind of his night. I mean, you need to have that where it's not always just Curry.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the encouraging part about this game. Again, against a shorthanded Minnesota team, but still they did what they needed to do. A little bit of confidence booster for Oubre. Seems like Wiggins also is getting, getting more used to playing with this group, getting more comfortable, and, you know, is becoming a two-way player in his own right. So, you know, there's enough there to be interesting and to be a challenge, and they've gotten some nice wins against better teams so far this year, and they've had some stinkers against better teams as well. You mentioned Denver, Utah. I mean, Utah was the worst, right? So they're going to have games like that. And, you know, some of that in Utah might have had something to do with coming in at 2 in the morning. But that happens in the NBA, and the schedule is not as bad as it used to be. So you can't really use that as an excuse. I think this team has enough talent to stay above water, and maybe they acquire somebody else and get into the playoffs and make some noise. Or, you know, if they don't make enough adjustments, they could lose contact. But right now they occupy one of the playoff spots, and they're still developing. And, you know, especially Wiseman. How is he going to be at the end of the year? Will Oubre be comfortable with his group at the end of the year like he seemed to be tonight? You know, still a lot more questions to answer. Is there going to be another dependable shooter to help out Curry? Wiggins is more of a scorer than a classic shooter. You want another guy who's an outside threat consistently. Is it Damian Lee or is it somebody else they require? Acquire that is. But, you know, there's enough there to say, hey, this is a season that is certainly not going to be a write-off, even though you don't have Klay Thompson. Even though you won't be a championship contender, you'll still be interesting.
A lot of people are talking about how Wiggins is playing better on the defensive end than he did the whole time that he was with Minnesota, you know, playing against his former team that kind of brought up the memory of his years there. And, you know, you always knew that he was a talented offensive player. I mean, just the way that he can handle the basketball, can shoot, you know, he's very smooth. When he can get around a defender the way he does and not have an offensive foul, he seems to be really adept at that. But it's the defensive side, right, the defense that really I think a lot of people are surprised about because they didn't see that in Minnesota. You got to give a lot of credit to the Warriors staff for kind of turning him around in that part of his game.
Yeah, and that's part of coaching the guy up and getting him a part of the culture and playing alongside guys like Looney and Green, who are good defenders as well. You know, the sixth in the league in blocks. nobody expected that. he's definitely contributing at both ends of the floor, and he's not a guy, you know, you look at the facial expression, a lot of people say, well, he's not passionate, right? They wonder if he really loves the game. But from everything I've heard, he loves it with the Warriors, and he wants to stay here a long time. And I think it could end up being, you know, very good for them. I think they've won the deal because not only getting Wiggins for Russell, who is out right now and obviously can be a prolific scorer, but I think for what the Warriors do, Wiggins is a better fit. But the drama of the draft pick, right? Is it going to be, you know, protected three or – you know, people are stressing about Minnesota's record right now. And I go through this, and I used to go on my show with this with fans all the damn time, whether it was the 49ers or the Warriors or whatever. Stop worrying about draft picks, okay? I mean, you can't, first of all, you can't control it. The Warriors do. no matter how much you caterwaul about it, the Warriors have a plan that they're going to stick to no matter what. And they're not going to worry about the draft pick or where it ends up for Minnesota. So you shouldn't worry about it either. Because, A, you can't control it, and they can't control it. B, we're talking about even if you end up with the worst record, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll have a top three protected pick. You could still end up with a number five pick. And I think it ends up being about a 60% chance, you know, for top three protected. So that's not a lead pipe cinch. And we've seen it happen before where a team that had one of the three worst records does not get one of the three best picks. So it's not even worth worrying about that. And then you're talking about picking up a player that, again, is a young player that may or may not stick in the league. And in the end, I don't think it's going to have a major impact on the Warriors' fortunes over the next few years. What's going to have a major impact is Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green being sound as they play into their 30s, and with Klay Thompson coming back from a devastating injury. That's what's going to influence the trajectory of this team for the next couple of years. As far as the draft pick, that's down the road. And, of course, Wiseman developing. Now, you love having the number two pick this year, and I think it's going to be a pretty deep class next year. But apart from that, don't worry about it. Things will work out the way they work out. And if the Warriors don't get the protected three pick next season, then they get the first-round pick the following year. And that won't have as much of an impact potentially, but either way, you're talking about a player that's not going to contribute to their playoff fortunes for a couple of years.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, I'm just really enjoying watching this team. Like you mentioned, you know, Curry being out most of last year, it was a bummer. I mean, now you get a show every game watching him. You know, Draymond missing the beginning of the year, that kind of showed how much they missed him because they didn't play well those first few games. And when you see him in there with Curry and the development of Wiseman, I just find this to be a very exciting team this year. So, I mean, I'm just concentrating on, you know, every game this year. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, for the most part, and, you know, they're not a top-10 defensive team last time I checked. They're awful to start the year. They're getting a little better. And, you know, they're middle of the pack offensively. So, you know, right now they look like a team that's slightly better than 500, and that's exactly what their record is. And they could get better. So that's the intrigue for this season.
Yeah, and I think the rebounding, too. I mean, at last check, what, they were near the bottom of the league in rebounding.
Yeah.
Definitely need to make sure they have the fundamentals there on that. I mean, I don't know, some of it's just the effort, you know, and you don't have that every night.
They out-rebounded Minnesota tonight 46-39, and again, Minnesota didn't have Ed Davis, so that probably played into it for the most part, or at least to some extent. The thing I liked about tonight is they had 32 assists on 45 buckets, and that reminds me of the Warriors at Oracle as well. They get over 30 assists, they were doing pretty well. That part tells you that they're starting to gel a little bit more together. And, you know, Draymond is a big part of that with 8 assists. Steph, even though he didn't shoot well, had 8 assists as well as 6 rebounds. So he's doing what he needed to do otherwise. It's just still kind of coming together. And there's going to be, as we said a couple of podcasts ago, a step forward, a step back, and eventually 2 steps forward and a step back. So it's going to be a little painful at times. And again, they beat Minnesota twice. Great. At home. They're going to have tougher games coming up, including Boston. Phoenix started out 5-1, but now they're 8-8, and they've hit on tough times. There are some wins out there for them. Detroit, for example. But there are going to be some tough games as well. They got a couple at Dallas. So, it's going to be up and down all year long, I think. You just hope they have a few more ups than downs.
Yeah, and they always say that, you know, it's not so much who you play. Sometimes it's when you play them. And Devin Booker's been out the last couple of games because of a sore hamstring. So if he's out on Thursday, that's a problem. And the Suns, like you said, they're having problems right now. They've lost 3 in a row. They just lost to Oklahoma City on Wednesday night. And Chris Paul, he wasn't happy about it. He was saying that they're not playing well enough. So, they're going to be pretty fired up, I think, to play the Warriors because, they're not happy with the way they're playing. Chris Paul has that rivalry with Golden State and Steph Curry anyway. So
that'll be spicy.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of intrigue in that game on Thursday.
Yeah. And Dallas is another team that's going to be very motivated because they're looking up at the Warriors in the playoff standings right now. I think Dallas is a game and a half out of the 8th spot at 8-10, and they've struggled. They've lost 3 in a row. So So those two games are going to be very important for Dallas. So you think they're going to be a pretty motivated team next week. So I think they've got some pretty good matchups coming up. I think they've got San Antonio coming up on the schedule as well. But all things considered, I mean, you know, again, the Warriors haven't played themselves out of anything. It looked like they were going to for a while. They've gotten back into the mix. There's a bunch of teams that are close together in the standings. I think it's 10 teams are within three games of each other. So you've got some pretty good drama coming up here.
The most important thing, though, Ray, for tomorrow is there any leftover chicken shrimp stir fry? Because the wonder of social media, somehow I know what you ate for dinner on Wednesday.
My dear wife loves to inform our friends on social media sometimes what we have for dinner, and apparently you have some stir-fry envy. So come on over. There's plenty.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.